Let us then turn in God's words to John chapter 10. We'll be reading together the first 21 verses in our chapter, looking specifically at verses 11 through 18 as our text this morning. But I want to read Jesus' teaching concerning himself as the Good Shepherd as we look forward and consider Easter upcoming. Jesus teaches us about himself and about what he is about to do as he teaches us about what he is as the Good Shepherd. So let us read together God's word, John chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold but by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, "He has a demon, it is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we are told of the good shepherd, that he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, brothers and sisters, we are also told in comparison concerning those who are hirelings, or even those who come to steal sheep, that they are not true shepherds. But we, brothers and sisters, need to know that those who are the true sheep of God will not hear their voice. They will know that there is something wrong. When you hear someone talking to you, almost immediately you know who that person is. Once in a while we get a little confused. But the sheep know who is calling to them. And God tells us that the sheep know the Savior. Jesus compares himself to the door by which we enter and go out and find pasture. And the background of this idea, of this passage, is, of course, the 23rd Psalm. And we are reminded of God's shepherding of us and his care for us each and every day. And as we said, the good shepherd loves his sheep by laying down his life for them. Notice how he says that. And he says that a number of times in different manners to make it very clear. The people didn't understand. Verse 6, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And so he made it more plain. And yet, did they get it then? Verse 20, they said he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Brothers and sisters, the true sheep heard. And brothers and sisters, we are called to hear. To hear the words of our Savior. The good shepherd loves his sheep by laying down his life for them. As we look at this passage, first of all, in verse, it says 11 through 13, we see that our good shepherd doesn't flee. He lays his life down for his sheep. In verses 14 through 16, we see that Jesus brings the love of God to his sheep. In verses 17 and 18, we see that Jesus lays down his life and takes it again. Notice the words that start our passage, our text, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Again and again, by the way, in the book of John, we are told that Jesus uses these words. What are those words? I am. That, of course, references the Old Testament name of God. I am, Yahweh. And so Jesus, when he makes that statement, I am, is a very pregnant statement. That is not just something that rolls off of the tongue. I am the good shepherd. God, Jesus, is the good shepherd. We have to understand that good shepherd. He cares for, he loves his sheep. He leads us as sheep. You've heard me say before, when God compares us to sheep, he's not making a nice comparison. And Ashley, Scott Schlepp always used to say, sheep are dyers. And they do. But you have to understand, we as human beings are dumb. We are like sheep. And yet, the good shepherd comes into this world to lay down his life for us. Not to let the sheep die, but to lay down his life for us. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep going astray and have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Later on in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for his friends. Notice, Jesus tells us that he's going to do that again and again. And we need to realize that that was his purpose from the word go. When Jesus was at his bar mitzvah and when his parents headed home, they came back and found him in the temple teaching the rulers. And Jesus says, do you not know that I need to be about the things of my Father, of God? Jesus knew from the day one what he was here to do. Christmas has very little meaning without Good Friday and Easter. Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came into this world to serve and to give that life. On the other hand, we have the hireling. One who is not a shepherd. The one who doesn't own the sheep. Notice that ownership that Jesus has of us as his sheep. We're not just people rolling around in this world. We are owned. We were bought with a price. The hireling sees the wolf coming and leaves and flees. Jeremiah 23:1-3. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter my sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil of your doings, says the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back from their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And we have to see that when there are false shepherds, they drive sheep out. The wolf catches and scatters the sheep. Instead of gathering the flock and giving their lives, The hireling is just that. He doesn't own the sheep and he doesn't care. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. See that connection with Jeremiah? And brothers and sisters, to me as a pastor, that speaks volumes. But brothers and sisters, it should as well to you. That even though man scatters, even though every pastor fails, Christ is the one who gathers. Christ is the one who protects us. He will gather His sheep. He lays His life down for them. The hireling flees, as we said, because he doesn't care for the sheep, because he's a hireling. Notice, remember, after Peter had denied Christ, what did Jesus say to him 3 times? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And brothers and sisters, we need that feeding. We need to be cared for. Sheep don't do well on their own. They're dinner. We, as Christians, so easily of ourselves, if we are not in the flock, our dinner, the wolves just tear us apart. And yet, Christ gathers His sheep together to protect them. Paul says to elders and to pastors, 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Shepherd that flock. Not as a hireling, but serving the good shepherd. Think of Paul, how much he suffered shepherding God's flock. And Jesus brings the love of God to His sheep, verses 14 through 16. Jesus knows His sheep and is known by His own. Again, He reminds us that He is the good shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11, as we've been looking recently at the servant songs, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Notice how our Savior cares for us and carries us in our needs. He will gather the lambs with His arm, carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead those who are with young. Jesus knows His sheep. We think, okay, yeah. No, Jesus knows us perfectly. Perhaps you've heard the old story or the old joke. Men know that children are around. The mother knows everything about them, their favorite color, their birthday, everything like that. Men often are more, and that's not perfect, of course, but men often know that there happen to be little people running around places. And brothers and sisters, Jesus' knowledge of us as His sheep is not, hey, there's a bunch of people running around. Jesus knows and cares for us to the point that He knows our every need. He knows our every want, our loves, our hates. He knows perfectly. Jesus said concerning Nathanael early on in His ministry, Nathanael said to Him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Jesus sees us when no one else does and cares about us in a manner we can't even care for ourselves. Jesus knows us perfectly. And Jesus is known by His own. Again, that idea that the good shepherd, the sheep know the good shepherd. And we as God's sheep need to know our good shepherd. How do we know Him? Reading His word. Listening to His voice. If we don't listen to His voice on a regular basis, we won't know it. Just like if you've never heard someone's voice before, you don't know who that is on the phone. We need to hear our Savior's voice in His Word day by day so that when He calls, we know. And when there is someone else calling, who is a thief or a hireling. They are not the true shepherd. They are not the one we should follow. 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason, Paul writes, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. We know that he cares for us perfectly. And he will keep that which we have committed to him until that day. And Jesus brings then the love of his Father by his commands to his people. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And those who know Jesus know the Father. Matthew 11:27, all things I have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. We are given knowledge of the Father that the world cannot have. We are given knowledge and love of our God because of what Jesus has done through us. As the Father knows me, I know the Father, Jesus says. And we, brothers and sisters, receive the benefits of that, that our Savior brings to us the love of God, demonstrated in what? I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus came to this world. Jesus was sent by the Father. We read that later on. This command, verse 18, I have received from my Father. Jesus came into this world to give his life in the love of God for sinners, for you and I. Not because, as we saw earlier in the service, there's anything good in us that says, God, you need to save us. He came to give his life for sinners whom God loves. And Jesus says further, I have other sheep of other folds. And this one's a little bit enigmatic. This is a little hard to understand here in verse 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now what is he talking about? Well, Jesus is talking to people who are Jews, and specifically people who are believing Jews for the most part at this point, although certainly there were others among. And the Jews had this idea that they were the only ones that were important. They were the special people of God. And Jesus says, no other sheep I have. And that's borne out throughout the New Testament. By the way, one of the big conflicts within the church in the New Testament was this idea that the Jews were the people to whom the gospel would go. And it wasn't important to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, brothers and sisters, the New Testament shows very much that the gospel was to go to people of every tongue and nation and tribe. Now, our version of that today is not so much, well, the Jews versus the Gentiles. Our version today is, well, here, people that look good, people who are of our church. Yeah, they're the ones that need the gospel. These other people, no way. They might not be perfect like me. Well, first of all, we need to get that straight. But second of all, no, that gospel is for everyone who will believe. People of other tribes, people of other nations, people whose background isn't like ours. It doesn't matter. They may have, you know, tattoos or other things that we might say, ooh. They may not look like us. They might not know how to dress. Brothers and sisters, the biggest thing, we talked about that in the conference, is not to make them perfect before they come in. Then they don't think they need anything. But to show them their need of the Savior. And brothers and sisters, everyone needs the Savior. And so we don't bring the gospel saying, well, this is just going to boost you. You're good enough, but this will just boost you into heaven. We bring the gospel to sinners. Jesus hung out The Bible said the chief priests hated it because he hung out with sinners and prostitutes and harlots. Well, we don't want that sort of person in church. They need the gospel just as much as I do. And God saves sinners. And Jesus has flocks of other folds. Acts 10:45, those who are of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came to Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. The gospel will go. There is the power of God to save sinners. And the power of God is to change lives and to make those who, from our perspective, we don't even want to think about, into the servants of Almighty God. And they will hear my voice, Jesus says. They will hear, they will believe. It is the power of God to save sinners. It's not our power. And praise the Lord for that. It's not our power. It is the power of God. The Holy Spirit works in whomever He wills. There will be one flock and one shepherd. One thing that makes me sorrowful as a pastor is when we look around us, and I realize it's a necessity with the fact that people believe very different doctrine. But when I see the fact that the church is so segmented in our culture, it ain't supposed to be that way. The problem is not God. The problem is us as sinful human beings. I'm not saying we need to reunite with people who believe very, very different things than we do. But brothers and sisters, we need as Christians to be working together, studying God's Word and saying, what does God say? And understanding that and believing that. And there are always going to be divisions within the church. There was right away. Remember Paul and Barnabas. Remember again and again that happened right away within the Bible times. But brothers and sisters, we look forward to that day. Eternally, one shepherd. One flock. Jesus said, John 12:32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to Myself." Jesus, in His high priestly prayer, John 17:20, "I do not pray for these alone, but for also for those who will believe in Me through their word." The gospel goes out to all people. The free offer of the gospel. We can cry out to anyone, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And Jesus lays down His life and takes it again at the Father's command. "Therefore My Father loves Me," we read verse 17. Why? "Because I lay down My life that I may take it again." Jesus came into this world for this purpose. It wasn't a surprise ending. It wasn't something that He didn't expect. And yes, we need to be sorrowful that it is our sins that put Him on the cross. But brothers and sisters, we call it Good Friday. Because on that day, Jesus took the penalty for our sins and nailed them to the cross. And brothers and sisters, we need to rejoice in that fact. That our sins are forgiven in full. "Therefore My Father loves Me, because I lay down My life that I may take it again," Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He took that death in our place. He laid it down of Himself and He took it again. "No one takes it from Me," Jesus said. Notice, no one
takes it from me. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:53, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus didn't have to die. Why did Jesus die? Out of love for sinners. I lay it down of myself, He says here. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Jesus gave His life. He gave it for our sins. The death of the Son of God was necessary for our salvation. If God was going to save us, there was no other way. Remember Gethsemane as well, what Jesus prayed. Take this cup from me if it is possible. Nevertheless, not my will. Jesus went willingly to that cross. Jesus said to them, I have power to take it again. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus gave His life. Jesus took His life to Himself again. This command I have received from my Father. This was the prearranged agreement from before the foundation of the world. John 5:30, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus has received the command. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus came into this world. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world, in this manner, in this way, loved the world. Love expressed, greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Good Shepherd came into this world, and He didn't expect the sheep to die. And He didn't let them die. Not one of the flock, John 17, that You have given me have I lost. Jesus isn't going to lose us as His sheep. He gave Himself. He came into this world for that purpose. From day one, from the go, to give His life for sinners. And He takes His life to Himself again. And we rejoice in that fact, because in that fact we have salvation. We have life. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before Almighty God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You that You sent Your Son in Your love into this world, and that He gave His life to save sinners, to pay the penalty which we deserve to pay. And we praise You, Lord. We thank You that in that we have perfection of life. That we who are totally depraved, that we who deserve Your judgment and Your wrath, no longer have to fear eternal judgment. But that we can look forward to eternal life, to eternal joy, where sin no longer will be our struggle. And that we look forward to eternal perfection, and to live in eternal blessedness, such as we cannot even begin to imagine on this earth. We pray, Lord, that we would always be thankful, and that we would be always humbled by the fact of the need of our Savior to die for us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You laid down Your life willingly, and that you took it again. And that by that you showed greater love than anyone can imagine. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. We pray that our lives would be operated by that fact of thanksgiving to you, that you have given to us eternal salvation. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.